The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, July 6, 2016. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, we've got the red-hot Phils to talk about after a sweep of the Braves again today. Ben Simmons has made his rookie league debut. But best of all, we're going old school tonight with a super guest I can't wait to talk to, the roller derby queen from our youth, Hall of Famer Judy Arnold.
Yeah, Bill, Judy is one of my favorite female sports heroes from my younger years and a woman who I had the pleasure of meeting 3.5 years ago. And it's terrific that she's agreed to come on with us. So a lot of people, including yours truly, are really excited about this show.
Before we get started, we want to let our listeners know that we will have our Carl's Cards and Collectibles trivia question again tonight. We will be giving away an 8x10 color photo signed by both Carlos Ruiz and Matt Stairs on the field celebrating the 2008 World Championship to the first person that can call and correctly answer our trivia question. We'll be asking that question right about 7:27. So write this number down so you're ready. Our Shop for Kisses phone line is 929-477-2855. That's 929-477-2855. And I'll give you a hint, listeners. The question will be about our special guest, Judy Arnold. So pay close attention to our conversation. And with that said, business taken care of. Let's welcome Judy Arnold to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable. Judy, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Hey, Judy, this is Chet. And as I said last week on the show when we started promoting this show, for me back in the late 60s and early 70s, Sunday nights at 8 o'clock was appointment television for me. Channel 48, the roller derby, the Eastern Warriors, Philadelphia Warriors. We want to talk about that era. But let's first go back to, I guess, the late 1950s. I understand you discovered roller derby on TV as a young teenager. Tell us your initial impressions of that spectacle and why you decided it might be for you.
Well, Chet, some of the listeners may remember one time there was black and white TV. I was just a kid, and my mom and dad had gotten a TV. That was a big deal then. And there were three channels, and I think I was flipping through them, or – you know, you had to go to the TV and turn the knobs. It was hard times in those days. But anyway, I turned on roller derby, and I didn't even know what I was looking at. I'm like, what is this? You know, and I watched this for a little bit, and when I saw the ladies, and there was a fight, and I just thought, what? I didn't really like it. I thought, what are ladies doing like that for? But then it came live to San Francisco, where I was raised, and I went down and saw one live, and I was hooked. I was like, I want to try that. But I was only like 12, 13 years old. But I thought, oh, I'd love to get on that track and try to do. The skaters in those days were so fantastic, and they skated so fast. I was a little kid, and it looked like they were going 50 miles an hour or something. I don't know. It was just really exciting. And I thought, I want to try that. Well, I train school for kids. So I went home and asked my mom, and she's like, no way. I don't want you down to it. I don't want you doing that. You know, moms are protective.
Sure.
Yeah, I went. So I asked my dad, and my dad said, let's get you some wheels for your skates. Because I had somebody gave me a pair of shoe skates when I was a younger kid, and they didn't fit. But when it was time for derby, they fit. And my dad got me new wheels, and I went down there, and first time on the track, I was scared to death. But, you know, I picked it up quickly. I was very athletic as a kid. I have two brothers, and neither one are athletes. I'm the athlete of the family. and how do you figure that one out? But that's the way God made me. He gave me the gift of strength, and you know, I love to run and jump, and so roller derby worked for me. So that's how I kind of got started. I went to training school for 3 years because I was there every time the door was open. So I had an advantage over others that didn't get to train as much as I did, but from 13 to 16, I trained whenever I could, and I always watched the guys, and I tried to do what they were doing. And that's where I learned to leapfrog. I have, you know, that picture of me leapfrogging. I did that quite a few times. Yeah. I got an email about 3 years ago from a gentleman from San Francisco, and he said, you know, I just found you online. Are you the Judy Arnold? I used to hang out with you and your brother, and you used to leapfrog fire hydrants. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I started without skates, just jumping over fire hydrants. So I was getting ready for roller derby.
Well, Judy, you ultimately did join the Bay Area Bombers. You were, I guess, what, 15 or 16?
Just 16, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Warriors, they were actually based in Hawaii, the Hawaiian Warriors, before they moved to Philadelphia. So you actually skated with the Hawaiian Warriors for a while. Was it tough moving then from Hawaii to Philly?
No, not really. It was, of course, I loved Hawaii. It was amazing there, and the fans were great fans, but they said, we're going to go to Philadelphia. We're going to take the team there and just see how the people respond to, you know, to the roller derby. So when we got there, the first maybe 8 months or so in different places, it wasn't real crowded. But I'll tell you, little by little, that Philadelphia arena became the most wild place I ever skated, and I loved it. I loved it. The fans were so interactive with us, and that, you know, they made, you know, for me, I found that I got more energy off of their excitement. You know, it just, it motivated me to skate even harder. I know our whole team was like that. I'm sure the other teams too, but their zeal and their excitement, but not just there. I mean, we skated at, you know, different buildings all over, you know, in Jersey and Maryland and different places. And most places, the fans were really, really excited. But the Philadelphia Arena, boy, oh, boy, that was something.
Hey, Judy, when you this training that you took to start out with, was this more or less roller skating training, or was this training to be a roller derby player? And what was it like the first time one of those people gave you one of those elbows that knocked you on your keister, and that you did the same back? How did that all work?
Well, you know, when I was training, what we did in training school was a lot of endurance skating and jumping over things, because you have to learn, if a pack of people fall down in front of you, you have to get over them. So we did all kinds of different things, just learning that if we ever got into a game, we'd be ready to, you know, do whatever we had to do. And we had a junior league that I skated with in San Francisco and Oakland, California. And so we already were banging each other around, you know, as young kids. We were doing just what, you know, the big guys do, only, of course, we weren't as good or as skilled. But so we had some experience, but when the Bay Area Bombers asked me to skate with them, you know, I was thrilled. I couldn't believe that I'd get to skate with such a wonderful team with so many stars. I mean, there were great, so many great skaters. But my first game, I do remember thinking, you know what, I could die out here. This is really scary. You know, sometimes when you're young and you're doing something good, you think you're probably really good, but then you get out there with the pros, and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know what I was doing, but I quickly learned. They were, my team was so helpful to me. Peanuts Carol Myers was on our team then, and she and I had been friends from the training school, and the Bay Bombers, she was on the team, and she really helped me along to say, just be careful, don't get right in that, don't go there, you better stay back here, you know. So she helped me a lot, and so did others. It was quite a joy. And that first year I got Rookie of the Year, and that was when my mom thought, okay, maybe this is okay. She was pretty proud.
You know,
proud
I don't remember you with the Bombers. That was a little before my time, but I do remember, of course, all your years with the Warriors, the Eastern Warriors, the Philly Warriors. In fact, to this day, Judy, I remember the names of a bunch of your Warriors teammates, Roberta Mitchell, Judy McGuire, Little Richard Brown, Buddy Atkinson, Jim Trotter, Mike Gammon, Yvonne Riggins, Lynn Congleton, Cindy Ogben, the late Judy Sawinski. Those names bring up lots of good memories for you?
Oh, yeah. We had a great team, and we really got along well, you know, the guys and the girls. We worked together well. I've heard over the years from different opposing skaters that their favorite place to come and skate was Philadelphia, that they loved to come and skate against the Warriors because we were such a great team, and it was very competitive for them. And, I'm honored that they say those things, but I know we all got along so well. We had a lot of laughs, the girls. We had as a team, we had a lot of laughs. We worked well together. Yeah, so many of those and guys were just a real blessing to my life. And we have reunions once a year, and I get to see some of them. I was with last year it was Whirly Bird, Harlene Keene, Cindy Ogden.
Mm-hmm.
Yolanda Trevino, Little Richard, Arnold Skip Schoen. He was on the Warrior team. Let me think who else was there. Otis Williams showed up, and that was so cool because Otis was one of those guys on the Warrior team that was a real gentleman that I really respected, and he and his wife showed up at the reunion. We took a bunch of pictures of, I think there was about 8 of us there of the Warrior team. So that was really, really neat. Yeah.
I should mention, Judy, that I actually got to see you skate a few times back in the day because you brought the team to Hamburg a few times, and I saw you in Hamburg a couple times, and I think once even in Pottsville. I lived fairly close to Pottsville, Pennsylvania. So I do remember those nights fondly. Hey, let me ask you this. One thing you need to explain to me, Judy, it was roller derby for a while, then roller games, and I think it was back to roller derby. What was going on there, and did that in any way result in you walking away from the sport at a young age in 1975?
No, it really didn't. There was, I loved what I did, and I wasn't into the politics of it that much. I just skated and enjoyed skating and didn't get all the ins and outs. But roller derby was started by Jerry Seltzer out in San Francisco. And that's why in Philly we were called the Eastern Warriors. They called it roller games in the East Coast because it was two different leagues, and we couldn't use their name of roller derby. But everybody knew it as roller derby, so how do you change that? But anyway,
right.
So they roller derby stopped for a season, and they came and started skating against us. And, it was a big – a lot of switching around there at that time. And that was not the reason I quit, but it had nothing to do with that. But, I don't know how many fans are listening in, but I just want to say to all the Philly fans, you were the best and you really were an encouragement to me. And thank you for your support. I still get emails from people that, in fact, I just got one 2 days ago from a gentleman that was online and happened to find me, and he wrote and said how much it meant to him that he and his father used to go to the 46 and Market to the arena. And I can't tell you how many people over the years that I've spoken to said that was a family time for my family. We didn't sit down and do anything together, but we'd sit and watch roller games together, and it brought our family together. And I came with my grandma, and my grandma loved you. And, I just hear all that stuff of how families were together watching roller games. So that's really pretty neat for me.
Sure. Judy, in 1972, thereabouts, the Kansas City Bomber movie film came out starring Raquel Welch, and you had the opportunity to be the double for Raquel in that movie. And I guess as life plays out, that whole era there in 1971, 72 kind of changed Judy Arnold's life.
Yeah, it really did. I was honored. I mean, I couldn't believe that I was chosen to cape for Raquel Welch. You know, if you're old enough, you know Raquel Welch was a very beautiful sex goddess, I guess you'd call her. I'm not sure. But, you know, she was a beautiful lady, and I thought, how am I going to, you know, do that? But anyway, yes, I had the privilege. I went out to where we were filming, and I had to wear a wig, and I've never had long hair, so that was really hard for me. I had to learn how to skate with long hair where you can't see anything. But during the movie, I had to keep the hair in my face, so, you know, people would think it was Raquel and not me. But that was a great opportunity for me to I was already pretty famous in the, you know, that area, East Coast, and people knew who I was, and I knew what it was to be liked or loved by people. And then I went and worked with Raquel, and she was much more famous than I was, and known probably all over the world because of lots of different movies. But anyway, I saw a lady at that point in her life that was not real happy, and it really was shocking to me because I thought, if you're beautiful and have money, and you're in movies, and you're famous, you've got to be happy. But I'll tell you, that really made me think about my own life and where I was headed. And, yeah, that was not long after being with Raquel and all the movie actors and actresses. I had a transformation in my own life where a friend of mine talked to me about Christ and his love for me, and it just really affected my life that Jesus Christ had died for me and that I could be forgiven of my sins. And I turned to Christ in 1973, and I'm telling you, I don't regret a day of that because I found a love that I've never, ever, ever known, because God knows me and loves me, and everything about me he knows, and he still loves me. And I don't think I ever had anyone in my life that knew everything about me. So anyway, in 1973, I had a life-changing experience with God, and skated another year and a half. And then in 1975, I felt the call to go to Bible college, which was a miracle because I hated school. I cheated in school. I never wanted to go back to school. But at that point, there was a heart's desire to go and learn the Word of God and get to know the Lord better through his Word. And so that's why I quit to follow. I really felt the call to do that, and I did it, and I don't regret one day. I mean, I absolutely loved skating, and I'm sure it showed because I did it with everything I had, and it was it was just a wonderful thing. I had the privilege to this day. I thank God for that opportunity to skate and to get paid for it. People maybe listening don't realize that when we skated, it was a profession. We skated 5 days a week, five nights a week. We got paid for it. It was our life. It was everything. The kids nowadays that are doing derby, they pay their way. You know, I don't know if you've seen any of the female skaters, roller girls. Yeah, I give them a lot of credit because it's hard to do what they're doing. I really give them a lot of credit, but there's no money in it. In fact, you pay your own way. But you know what? Totally understand that they love it and they don't care if they have to pay. They just want to do it. And I support them fully because it's what they're doing is hard. It's nothing like what we did. If you've seen it, you know, there's no bank track. It's just different, but it's good. And they enjoy it, and I respect them for that.
Yeah, Judy, hey, it's just kind of ironic to me that you, a tough-as-nails, hard-skating roller derby legend for the past 40 years has been an evangelist. It's just kind of strange to me, but obviously you're enjoying your life, and I guess you get to travel all over the world. What do you do as an evangelist today?
Well, I speak in different churches, and through the years I've traveled with two other ladies, and we've ministered in many, many churches and prisons and jails. And my story, my life story, when I share it with wherever I'm at, people are really amazed at what I used to do and what God's done in my life. And so I've spoken in many churches, and I put on one church in Delaware years and years ago. said, "Can you skate into my church?" And I'm like, "What? You want me to skate into your church?" And he said, "Yeah, the people would go crazy if you came in here." I said, "Well, I don't have any uniform. I gave it all back. All I have is my skates, and I have a jacket that I used to wear." So, you know, long story short, somebody gave me a uniform. I put on my skates, skated into that church, and the people just absolutely loved it. So for years, I skated into church, and not to prison, because there, you know, you really can't get in there with that, but many, many places, and people love it, because, you know, I tell them it's okay, because I am the real holy roller.
There you go.
So anyway, yeah, so I've done that a lot, and I get to share the love of Christ with people, and that means a lot to me, because I want to give away what I've received. And I just like to throw in here too a thought that I forgot to mention, that when I was just in the training school, and I idolized the professionals. They were somebody very special to me. And one day, one of the skaters from the Bay Area Bombers was coming out of the building, and we ran over to him, and he stopped and he spoke to me. And that affected my whole skating career. You know, a little bit of time with somebody means a whole lot to a child. And he stopped and he talked to me. And it really made me realize that now when I became a star, now I need to stop and give people time, because it's rude to just push him away, get out of my way, I'm a star. I don't talk to people now. I just make money. I don't talk. But I try to be kind to people, and you know what? That's what our world needs now, just a little bit of kindness. We need to be kind to one another instead of judging and hating and, you know, and I ask God to help me daily to not be judging people, just loving them, because God loves them, you know, no matter what. So, you know, we don't understand that kind of love. I don't, I'm learning, but yeah, so one person took time for me, and it meant that God took me full circle in that whole thing. And now, you know, I have opportunities to love and care for people. And I still skate some once in a while, put on my skates, and go skate down by the river, and I love it. I love when I can get on my skates. But I'm a little more cautious now that I'm a little bit older. So I make sure I have on elbow pads and knee pads and wrist guards and helmets, so, you know, just in case. But yeah, so I've lived an amazing life. I'm very grateful to God for letting me be in roller derby. You know, I mean, I could have done anything, but I'm so grateful for the opportunity to skate and be competitive and travel. We got to travel all over. We went to Japan, Puerto Rico. We went all over the place too. So, yeah. And
hey, Judy,
you guys for letting. Yeah.
I met you in 2012 through a mutual friend, an old Penn State pal of mine, Gary Powers. Now, when Gary and I were at Penn State, Schuylkill campus together back in the mid '70s, I had no idea that he too was a roller derby fan. I didn't know it, in fact, until he and I reconnected on Facebook about 5 years ago. And that's when I learned he was actually the driving force behind reopening the Roller Derby Hall of Fame in 2004. So I want to ask you, what has Gary meant to the roller derby world?
Oh, he's been a real help to try to keep it alive, you know, to keep alive what we did, because anyone under, 45, 50 has no clue what we did, because it's really pretty much been not available for quite a while. So he's tried to keep, you know, the Roller Derby Hall of Fame open, where people can go and see clips of skating, all the jerseys and helmets and skates. And so he's really done a good job of trying to keep, you know, the history alive. And he moved from, I don't know if you know, Chet, he moved out to, I think he's out in California, Southern Cal.
Yes, yes he is.
Yeah, so I believe he's still trying to keep it alive out there. You know, it's hard. Everything costs money to do. So just appreciate what he's tried to do for us. And he's always been a real help and an encouragement to me. I really appreciate him.
Yep, Gary's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. Hey Judy, yeah. we're just about out of time already, but we normally do a segment here that we call Fast Five, where basically Chet asks our guests five simple questions, gets five simple answers. But tonight we're going to change the name of this segment just this one time for you and call it 2 Minute Jam. Are you up for that?
Yeah, I think we're running out of time. Okay, sure.
Let's do it, Judy. We have two minutes. So, number one,
okay.
Other than yourself, who was the best female skater in your era?
Shirley Hardman. And
many
people
that name.
Don't know her. But yeah, okay. Texas Outlaws. Yeah.
Okay. Number two, who was the fastest skater back then, male or female?
Oh, boy. Oh, Mike Gammon.
Oh, okay. Yep. He was a warrior. What was the most memorable match race that you were involved in?
Ronnie Raines.
You had a match race against Ronnie Raines?
I did.
The Psycho?
Yes, Psycho. Yes, we did have a race. Yeah. I think I won, but I'm not sure.
You probably did.
Far back.
Hey, did you get hurt a lot? I think I remember you breaking an ankle once. Did you get hurt a lot in roller derby?
No, I did not, believe it or not. I would have bruises and things that ached, but nothing major until I broke my ankle in seven places, and that was at the Spectrum in Philadelphia.
I remember that.
I had to have surgery that night. Yeah, it's pretty rough. But
other than
I
roller derby, Judy.
Again. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Other than roller derby, do you have a second favorite sport?
Hey, there's a new game out for older, I don't know if it's just older people, and it's not necessarily a sport, but it's called pickleball. I don't know if you guys have heard of this.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think you'd call it a sport, but it's something that I can get involved in, and I'm still active and love to be active. So, other sport, the one, probably the sport that I watch most of the sports that are on TV near the end, when it's the World Series, the Super Bowl, you know, the basketball thing. I watch that, you know. So, yeah, I like all sports. Yeah.
And finally, Judy, as an evangelist, you travel a lot. Do you have a favorite place to visit?
I don't know that I necessarily have one favorite spot, but I've been in Jersey a lot. New Jersey, so, and I don't have a lot of contacts in Philadelphia, so if anybody's listening and says, well, Judy, we'd love you to come to our church, get in touch with me, go online, Judy Arnold, just Google me or whatever you do, and let me know.
I'm sure you'll have some new fans after tonight, Judy, and thank you for playing Fast Five, or as we call it tonight, Jam Time with Judy Arnold. Thanks a lot, Judy.
Oh, thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Judy. Well, I think we actually kept you a couple minutes longer than we were supposed to, but we certainly appreciate you joining us. It has been as fun as I thought it was going to be, and hopefully we could do this again. There's plenty more to talk about.
That's great. That'll be wonderful. Thanks a lot.
All right, Judy.
Judy.
Thank you.
Stay in touch.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Chet. It's trivia time, and hopefully the listeners were listening. Okay, our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question. Write this down if you didn't before, 929-477-2855. And as mentioned, we're giving away a signed 8x10 color photo signed by both Carlos Ruiz and Matt Stairs on the field celebrating the 2008 World Championship to the first person that can call and correctly answer this question. So here we go. This is a layup, Chet. Slam dunk. Judy Arnold was captain of the Philadelphia Warriors, a team that was originally called the blank Warriors before moving to Philadelphia. So basically what we're asking is, where was the team located that was called the blank Warriors before they moved to Philadelphia? Easy enough, Chet.
I'll give you a hint. It was west of Philadelphia by quite a bit.
It was west of Philadelphia. That's right. All right. Well, let's take a break. Thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores. including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. And, Chet, before this one gets away from us, we're gonna throw this question out here one more time, okay?
We got a couple Judy of people Arnold. Already with an answer.
Oh, we do. We have people on the line. Okay, take it away. Let's get an answer.
All right, we have a caller from the 215 area code. Who do we have on with us tonight? Who is this?
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hey, Nancy, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
And do you have the answer to our trivia question?
Yes, it was the Hawaiian Warriors.
You are correct, Nancy. First time caller and a winner.
Awesome, thank you.
Fantastic. Well,
tell them what you've won.
You have won the Phillies signed championship 8x10 signed by Carlos Ruiz and Matt Stairs. But what I need you to do is if you will go to our – do you have a Facebook page?
I do. Well, yeah, I can go to Facebook.
Okay, if you could go to Facebook under my page, Bill Furman, F-U-R-M-A-N, and send me a message – a private message with your name and address and all that, and we will get that picture up to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, Nancy. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, and great answer. How'd you like Judy Arnold as a guest, by the way?
Oh, she's great. I have known Judy. I met her back in, I guess the first time was, 1974, and I used to go to the games. And one of the things that was very special to me was one time after a game, she invited my friend and I to go to church with her the next day. It was a Saturday night game. So she and I and my friend, we went to her church, and it happened to be the same church that our friend Linda went to. And after church, all of us got invited to Linda's house for dinner. Her dad invited us.
That's
wow.
Nice. Yeah, Judy's a great one.
It was a special thing. And then after that, we went to Judy's house. So we got to meet the dogs and the cat and the bird. And, you know, it was kind of cool.
Very good.
Awesome.
Very good. All right,
thank you, Nancy.
Nancy, well, send me that message, and we will take care of getting that off to you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
All right, Chet, we have another caller that's still hung on. Maybe he has a comment since the trivia question is already answered.
Yeah, we have a winner, but caller, do you have anything to say about our show tonight? Hi, can you hear us?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, hi.
How you doing? Yeah.
Good, we got a winner tonight, but...
Yeah, I know, but it was a great interview, and I've watched roller derby since I was a kid. And basically, I went to training school because I wanted to be like Judy Arnold. And I did get a chance to fulfill my dream. And I thank Judy for that.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
Good. What's your name?
Rhonda Hill.
Hey, Rhonda.
Yes. And thank you for having that interview.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
All right, Rhonda. Well, we appreciate you listening, and we appreciate your call.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Chet. Hey, Ben Simmons hit the court the other night in the rookie league, and he looked pretty impressive before having to leave the game with some leg spasms. What's your first impression, and could he really be a 6'10" point guard the way he can run the floor?
Well, I guess the term they're using is point forward, which means he'll play forward, but as you hinted, he will bring the ball up the court much of the time, sharing those duties with Jared Bayless or Sergio Rodriguez or whoever else they bring in as a true point guard. I'll tell you, though, Simmons was pretty much exactly as advertised in his summer league debut Monday evening. He is athletic. He's a terrific passer. I was watching the game, believe it or not. He made 3 passes for assists that were things of beauty, and he is a subpar shooter, unfortunately. He was just 2 for 9 shooting in his debut, and one of those 2 makes was a dunk. I could have done that, well, if I was 6'10". But I'm excited about seeing what he'll be able to do when the games matter this November and beyond. So, yeah, a nice debut, and he's going to play again Thursday night, so we'll see what he does in Game 2. And I'm looking forward to this coming season, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you know, I did not see the first half, and some of the guys were talking about it, and so I flipped it over and saw the second half, which I didn't get to see a whole lot there. But then I tuned it in the next night to watch him, and he didn't play. So I guess he's going to be back, expected to be back tomorrow, Thursday night, going to play.
Yeah, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, they play Utah, I believe. So he's supposed to play and hopefully improve on his debut.
Yep. Hey, how about I'm going to try to pronounce this because I'm going to have to learn how to do this. Timoth Lawawu Cabarro. How did you like the European prospect debut? He looked pretty good for
a guy that I'm not sure
they thought they were going to get.
Drop the last part of his name. You don't need it. Just call him Timute Luwawu. Timute Luwawu. There you go.
I'm going to call him. How about TLC from now on?
There you go. Yeah, TLC. He actually looked pretty good. I like this kid. I don't know if he's going to I think he might make the team, be one of the 15 guys on the roster. I heard some talk they might send him to the Development League this year, but he looks like he can shoot a little bit. It looks like he can play a little bit too. So I was happy to see him. I hope to see him again tomorrow night. And I think he's got a shot. You know, I'd rather see him than a 30-year-old Sergio Rodriguez, who they just picked up the other day. You know, this guy's 30. He's been playing overseas for a few years without a whole lot of fanfare. I'd rather see somebody young, you know, a fresh 20 or 21-year-old than a 30-year-old guy who's not really got a future in the league. So, yeah, we'll see what Timute has to offer, and keep your eye on him.
Yeah, he did look pretty good. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, though, the 21-year-old over the 30-year-old. And we heard Tom Moore say, you know, just a few weeks back when he was on with us, that one of Jerry Colangelo's goals is to balance the age of the roster as well as the, the skill sets. And I think we're going to see some more of those 28, 30, 32-year-old guys, but I'm not sure what we're going to do with all these kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they brought in a guy like Carl Landry last year, and then later in the year, Elton Brand. You know, he didn't get to play much, but he was just kind of a veteran presence on the team. So I understand that, and I'm okay with that in a few cases, but I don't want to see too many of the 30- and 32-year-old guys. I would rather see a bunch of young guys and let them develop together, assuming they're all going to be part of the core moving forward.
Me too. Hey, how about the trade front? You still think there's a big deal brewing? And who's on the top of that list today? Is it still Okafor?
I think it's still Okafor with Noel, you know, a second choice. And I'm with Tom Moore on this one. Tom is also of the opinion that there's a better than 50-50 chance that one of those bigs will be traded before opening night in late October. So it might not happen right now. It didn't happen, obviously, you know, draft night. But I still think something is going to happen between now and late October. The Sixers may have to come down a little bit in their demands, but don't think they want to have, you know, three big guys who all pretty much play the five position and will be vying for minutes on the roster come October 30th.
Well, I still have to say, though, I think they have to, if they're going to make a move, they have to not just make a move to make a move. They've got to get equal to greater value. You know, these guys were all, what, top two or three picks in the entire draft. You better be getting something real quality. You know, not just trading for another number one pick, say, that might be number 8 or 10 or 12. Then you've gone backwards. So they've got to they certainly have to have the right deal.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And by the way, let me add this. Another guy who's also a big who looked really, really good in the first two summer league games is this Christian Wood. He's about 6'11". He played a little bit with them last year. He's got some game. I mean, he's thin, but, you know, obviously he's tall at 6'11", and he can shoot three-pointers. So I don't know if there's a place for him on this team, but he was kind of fun to watch. So, you know, maybe he will make the team. Maybe Embiid will get hurt again. You never know. But keep your eye on Christian Wood also.
Well, I sure hope the Embiid getting hurt again isn't a reality.
No.
That
nobody
would be a
wants
step
that.
Back. For sure. Well, hey, let's fly it over. Let's talk about those red hot fighting Phillies again. All of a sudden, the bats are hot. The lineup seems to be settling in, and the pitching is starting to come around a little bit, except for Aaron Nola. We'll get to that. But after today's come-from-behind win, they've won 10 of their last 13. Is it smoke and mirrors again because we're playing the lower-level teams again, or is this team coming around?
Well, keep in mind that before the Braves, they beat the world champion Kansas City Royals 2 out of 3. So overall, they've won 4 in a row, 5 out of 6 on this just-concluded homestand. And as you said, 10 out of 13, they're impressive, 9 out of 11. What's most impressive to me is the fact that they're banging out double-digit hit totals almost every game now. Mikel Franco has homered in 4 straight games. Cody Ashe's been red-hot and playing a pretty nice left field also. Peter Borges just had a career-best 14-game hitting streak. It ended today. And even your favorite player, Bill, not Freddie Galvis, went yard for the game-winning 2-run homer today. So that was great to see. And you mentioned the pitching. Aside from Nola, the pitching's been darn good. It's great to see all of them turn it around after looking like the team was in something of a free fall in late May and much of June. You know I like Jared Eichhoff. He's just consistent. 18 out of 25 major league starts, he's had quality starts, you know, 6 innings, 3 earned runs or less. I like the fact that Zach Eflin is finally turning it around. He had that horrible debut. Then he was okay for the next 3 starts, and then he pitched a gem yesterday, a complete game. So that's nice to see. The future is looking better and better for this team. It's not totally smoke and mirrors. I mean, there's something to what's going on right here. They're not going to be a contender this year. They're probably not going to be a contender next year, but there's certainly a lot to build on right here.
Yeah, there is, and I think something that I'm going to say that Pete McCann deserves some credit for this, I guess. But you know, the juggling of the lineup every night, trying to find some combination that worked, it was getting very frustrating to me. And I'm thinking, as a player, how do you know when you go to the ballpark? First of all, are you in the lineup? Second of all, you know, where are you going to hit? But now all of a sudden, whether it's because guys have gotten hot, he settled on a pretty good, steady lineup, you know, making his normal changes. Cameron Rupp comes out, Chooch goes in, those kind of things. But generally, he settled in on a lineup that's going at it every night. And as you mentioned, Cody Ashe is hitting in that 3-hole, hitting well. Tommy Joseph hopefully warming up a little bit. And of course, we have Odubel Herrera, who is going to be the Phil's lone representative on the All-Star team. And as you know, I like Odubel.
Yeah, and I do as well. He's hitting, what, 305? Very consistent at the top of the order. Another guy who I mentioned earlier, Peter Borges, who had frequently batted down in the 8 or 9 slot, has now pretty much settled in as the number 2 hitter. And he's been there almost every day lately, and he had a 14-game hitting streak that was snapped today. So he's up to 272 now, I believe. So, yeah, these guys are finding the groove. Cody Ashe, I really like what he's been doing lately. He's got some power, 4 home runs over the past month, a lot of doubles along the way, and as you said, settled into that number 3 spot. Joseph's been a little inconsistent after that hot start, but you mentioned Cameron Rupp. There's a guy who I really like. I don't think he's the future, obviously, with Ferrero and the other guy in AA and AAA, but he's certainly a solid backup. Cameron Rupp's got some power. He's still got to do a better job, I guess, with handling of the pitchers. That's one complaint some people have of him, that he doesn't handle the pitchers as well as a Chooch does. But, you know, Chooch was known for that. But he can hit, and he seems to be a fun guy in the clubhouse. So I've become a Cameron Rupp fan.
Me too. Matter of fact, back about a week or two ago, before they got a little hot, I was telling our buddy Carl Henderson that I thought that Cameron Rupp was playing as well as anybody on the ball club at that time. And he kind of laughed at me, but I still think he has played pretty darn well. And like you say, probably has a lot to learn behind the plate. But, you know, if he's going to hit 280 and have a little bit of power, well, there's not a whole lot of catchers doing that.
No, they're not. And speaking of that Carl Henderson guy, I think he's on the line with us right now. Is he? Carl?
I'm here.
No.
There he is.
Just in time to rebuke.
I mean, is that any way to introduce somebody by ripping them?
Let me give Carl
a proper introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, the proud owner, manager of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, who is busy all this month celebrating his 60th birthday with parties just about every day. He's taking a break from the cake and the wine to join us on Philly Press Box Radio, Mr. Carl Henderson.
Thank you, Chet.
There you go.
Appreciate that.
Hey, Carl, before we get to your store update, signing update, I wanted to throw some names out here real quick, and it starts out with Randall Cunningham. And Randall Cunningham may not be the best athlete in his own family, and the Ultimate Weapons 18-year-old daughter Vashti is headed to Rio for the 2016 Summer Olympics after placing second in the high jump this weekend at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials in Eugene. And Randall is Vashti's coach. So I thought that was really cool. Randall got a little FaceTime, and like all of us, was very proud of his daughter.
Very cool. Very cool. Got to see that. And, you know, it's a proud moment as a parent, for sure.
You bet. Chet, did you get to see that, by the way?
I did. I saw the highlights, and, yeah, that's super. I'm sure Randall's very happy about that. And, by the way, before I forget, I wanted to thank Carl for the tickets for last Thursday night's Reading-Phillies game. We saw some of the young prospects go deep. The Reading Phils, the Fightins, with a late comeback for an easy win. Best team in baseball, those Reading Fightin' Phils. And even my Pirate fan, Denny Malloy, had a good time at the ballpark.
Yeah, them pirate fans are sneaking in all over the place.
Yeah, you better be careful of that, Mr. Henderson. I have to tell you.
I well aware, well aware.
Well, Chet, you know, I was going to ask you that. How did you like your first trip to Reading to see the Fightins?
It was pretty cool. I saw Carl when I was there. Carl tipped me off to walk through that little tunnel where they have all the pictures on the wall, you know, of a young Mike Schmidt, the Bull, and all those guys from back when they were in Reading in the 70s. That was pretty cool. Nice stadium, built in 1950. I guess they've refurbished it a couple times over the years. But, yeah, it's a real nice place. I like it. Got to move around, sit in a couple of different spots. And you could see, you know, great from everywhere, and things are a little cheaper than they are certainly at Citizens Bank Park. You can get a beer for like $5 instead of $10, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's a little different. That's a 50% price break. That's good to go. Hey, Carl, do you? That's the second game, I believe, this year that you've sponsored. Do you have any more lined up here through the end of the year?
We don't. We may sneak in another one, but we're still working out the details on that because they've won, I think, up to last night. I think they're up to 60 wins, and the tickets, it's becoming a tough ticket.
Ah. Yeah, winning will do that, won't it?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
All right. Well, hey, Chet, before we do the update, we're going to take – a summer Wednesday off again next week, and I'm sure Mr. Henderson, who ripped me for us taking one off in June, will have something to say about this. But we're going to take off next week, and we'll be back July 20th, and we have a special guest who we've had before, but we're going to talk about something a little bit different this time.
Yeah, we do indeed. One of our favorites making a return visit, like Judy Arnold, a Hall of Famer. It is none other than Ray Didinger, who will be here on the 20th to not only preview the Eagles training camp, which begins a few days later, and to talk about, but he also talk about the play that he wrote, Tommy and Me. That's the play about Ray's relationship with Eagles great Tommy McDonald. The play opens on August 3rd at the Fringe Arts Center on Columbus Boulevard. And, by the way, Ray will become the third member of the PPR Five Timers Club, joining Mark Eckel and Tom Moore as five-time guests. So we're looking forward to having Ray on with us again to talk about Tommy and Me, which I'm going to see on August 5th, and I can't wait.
Yeah, and, you know, I was going to point out when over at the Dick Vermeil golf outing a couple weeks ago was the first time I ever had an opportunity to meet Ray, and I really enjoyed talking to him about Tommy and me, and we're going to tease our listeners just a little bit because we're going to get him to share his Muhammad Ali story with us when we get him next week or in 2 weeks. That's a classic story in its own self.
Yeah, we could have Ray on for like 3 hours to get stories from him, but he's got some good ones for sure.
You bet. Well, hey, Carl, how about the update? You got all kinds of stuff going on. This is a busy month, and you've set yourself up for a triple header. So share with the listeners what's going on at Carl's Cards and Collectibles.
Well, on Saturday, July the 16th, we already had super utility guy Andres Blanco booked, along with Flyers, former Flyer captain Dave Poulin. But today we added Philly's future superstar, I guess. Can we go there?
We could sure say top prospect, can't we?
Well, okay, we'll go there. I know you like to downplay it, so we'll go there. We got J.P. Crawford coming in to start the day off, so I'm really, really looking forward to that one. So,
hey, Carl, we thought Dominic Brown was going to be a future superstar, so let's not jinx the kid.
Yeah, you know what? Where is that Dom Brown? He's a biker.
I think he's in the minors with Toronto, I think.
Yeah, he had
– Can you run down the times of those three so the listeners know if they want to get one and not the other, what the timing is, because you've got them spread out.
Absolutely. JP will be first thing in the morning from 10 to 11:30. Mr. Blanco will be from 12 to 1:30, so there's not too much of an overlap there to grab both of those fillies. And then Dave Poulin is from 3 to 5. So that should be pretty cool because he's a Notre Dame guy. Coached, played. He's working for TSN right now. So that's a good get for anybody that needs Winter Classic stuff signed. The following week, we've got another former Flyer, Sean Podine. Another, you know, Winter Classic guy. Also won a cup with the Colorado Avalanche. So that's a nice name to add. And then to finish out the month, we've got the manager, Charlie Manuel, coming in on the 30th. From 2:30 to 4:00, so we've got July pretty well packed, along with celebrating the kid's birthday.
There you go. And Carl, July 9th, Dylan Cousins, the Reading Fightins, is he still on the list?
He is not. No, he is not. That one's been taken off the board.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's what 25 home runs will do to you if you want to throw in a Dom Brown. If you want to throw in a Dom Brown quote.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Carl.
All right. So,
Carl, one question.
Yeah.
The July 16th triple header. Have you ever done that before? Had three separate signings in one day?
We have not. We have not. First time for everything.
There you go.
Okay,
yes.
And for our listeners, Carl's Cards and Collectibles located at 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. And Carl's number, 610-789-4996. You can visit his website, carlscards.com, or contact Carl on Twitter at Carl's Cards. You're a busy man, Mr. Birthday Boy.
Thank you.
Carl, I wanted to ask you, because you and I did talk briefly about this, Judy Arnold, what did you think of Miss Arnold being on the show, Philly Press Box Radio Big Show today?
You know what, it took me back to when I was a kid, because I was there. You know, my parents, you know, took us to the, I guess at the time, what did they call it over there at 46th and... what was
the
that
arena,
building
the Philadelphia
called?
Arena.
The arena.
Philadelphia
yeah, the
arena.
Philadelphia Arena. Then they moved to the Spectrum. I was there.
Yeah.
And I got next time I go to visit Mom, she's got a stack of old magazines. I could swear there's a couple of old programs from the roller derby in there. I enjoyed it. Her stories are fantastic. I didn't know the whole thing where she quit and, you know, went to, you know, to her religion and all that sort of stuff. So that's awesome, you know, that somebody's able to, you know, follow their dream. And, you know, she's apparently, you know, got a lot of people on board, and, you know, it's great what she's doing.
And a super nice lady.
Super nice. And looking for a couple churches to visit in the Philadelphia area as well. And, heck, maybe she could find 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown.
You know what? If I can find those programs, I'm liable just to make that happen.
There you go.
There you go, Carl.
All right, Mr. Henderson. Any parting shot for you, my friend, before we turn it over to Mr. Chesko for his?
I have none. I'm enjoying the Phillies, you know, whether it's a bad loss, a really good win. I'm enjoying this whole thing. This ride is phenomenal, and I'm looking for the summer to get even better, because I think if they, you know, as they add pieces and they start this rebuild process, you know, I think we're all going to enjoy it that much better. The Sixers, I'm excited just because they're bringing in basketball players that I know.
Yeah.
You know, I know the names, so I'm excited for them. And the Birds, I just think they're going to be so much better because they've got, you know, they've got a guy that cares, and, you know, he's a people person. So I think everything, and we're not even talking about my Flyers. So, I mean, the upside is phenomenal for Philly sports right now.
I'm with you.
Absolutely. I'm with you. They're fun. The Fightins are fun to watch when they're scoring a few runs and not yeah. getting shellacked by 10. They're fun to watch each night.
Absolutely.
All right. All right, Carl. Well, we appreciate you joining us, and as always, and keep it going at Carl's Cards. You got it rolling.
Thank you. Thank you, Chet. Thank you, Bill, for having me. I certainly appreciate it. And have a great week off.
All right.
Take care,
happy
Carl.
Birthday.
Yep.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
See ya.
Okay, Chet, parting shot for the week, and I actually have one myself this week.
All right. Now, I just scribbled mine down about an hour and a half ago, right before the show, so bear with me. If you're an NBA fan, your head is probably still spinning from all of the free agent moves that have been announced over the past week. Just a few minor additions by the Sixers, the signing of three journeyman guards, but a slew of moves elsewhere, highlighted, of course, by Kevin Durant's decision to join the already star-laden Warriors. But with the NBA salary cap going up this year and next, what's really eye-popping is the money that the other secondary free agents are getting. Now, Al Horford, I guess, is not a secondary guy. He's a nice player, career averages of 14 points and 9 rebounds, but 4 years, $113 million for Al Horford to join the Boston Celtics, that, my friends, is $28.25 million a year. Power forward Ryan Anderson is joining the Houston Rockets. He gets 4 years, $80 million. The Sacramento Kings are giving Aaron Aflalo $25 million over 2 years. Ian Mahinmi is joining the Wizards, 4 years, $64 million. I got to ask, who are these guys? Makes me wish I worked on my jump shot a little harder back in junior high.
Well, Chet, maybe we just have one parting shot, because mine is almost exactly the same, just different
Not
names.
Not again.
Once again.
Come on.
So, but I'm going to go ahead and go through it, and I'm going to go through this one anyway.
All
Bill
right.
Veeck, a once flamboyant owner of the Chicago White Sox during the start of free agency, said, "It's not the price of the superstars, it's the price of the mediocrity." As NBA free agency opened this past week, we saw contracts signed by players like Evan Turner, 4 years, $75 million. Jeremy Lin, 3 years, $36 million. Our own Ish Smith, 3 years, $18 million. And who is this Chandler Parsons? A five-year veteran averaging 14.3 points per game, 5.1 rebounds per game, and he will make $94.8 million over a four-year max contract. That's not to mention the superstars. Kevin Durant, 2 years, $54 million, and Dwight Howard, 3 years, $70 million. So where does the NBA go from here? It's usually popular in some big cities and not so much in others, with what appears to be more have-nots than haves. Can the league survive the stars jumping to other star-studded teams as Durant did to Golden State, the team that set the all-time single-season wins record in 2015-16? Can the big names of James, Curry, Wade, Westbrook keep the league afloat? And more importantly, does a team like the 76ers, doing it through the draft the old-fashioned way, ever really have a chance? even with an outstanding playoffs and a great finals, it's tough to like the NBA under the present operating system. That's what I got, sir.
Well, we agree. Great minds think alike, Bill.
There you go. All right, we're at the top of the hour. Let's thank our special guest, Judy Arnold, Cardinals Cards and Collectibles, for their continuing support of the show. Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes. Our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chechesco, this is Bill Furman. We hope you will join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, July 20th at 7 p.m. with our special guest, Hall of Famer Ray Dittinger. You can listen to our Facebook page or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio and on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.